Good morning and welcome to CFTRI's very own Thali Tea, the fortnightly audio digest. Thali Tea brings you useful information on nutrition, food research, hygiene and food safety. Brought to you every fortnight by CSIR, Central for Technological Research Institute, Mysuru. Volume number 1 and issue number 5, 26 April 2019. This Thali Tea package brings you refined oils or cold pressed oils, the bad guys versus good guys. Cholesterol, unnecessary evil. Traditional tips to store grains and why does rice get sticky? An interview on quality of rice and cooking with Dr. M.S. Meera, Principal Scientist, CSIR, CFTRI.
Refined oils or cold-pressed ones, the bad guys versus good guys. We all find arrays of edible oil bottles and packets teeming across food shelves in every supermarket and vendor shops all around India. Oil is an irreplaceable ingredient in the Indian kitchen. Decades ago, the types of oil used were traditionally cold-pressed and were from sources locally available. For instance, in North India, mustard oil was very common, while in parts of Andhra, Telangana and Rajasthan, it would be sesame and groundnut oils. Along the coastal regions, coconut oil would be the preferred choice. Also, there was the Indian cow ghee considered sattvic, that is, pure, wholesome and good for health. For a long, long time, these good guys were good enough and no one had any issues with their daily use. But then came the fear of heart illnesses, cholesterol worries and obesity tensions, and the trend changed drastically. As you know, today the oils and fats are considered a tough enemy to conquer in our daily diet. This happened so because the game players, the oil producers, brought in a game changer in the form of refined oils. All the oil processing companies are smoothly oiling consumers with a host of commonly marketed edible oils with numerous health claims. Add to this the changing lifestyle and cautious food habits. Every consumer is losing sleep over the selection of best oil. Won't you be baffled by choice? When there are a variety of oils catering to health care, weight management, diabetes care, fortified labels, and even those claiming zero cholesterol and zero trans fats. Yes, certainly, the Indian consumers are in a fix over oils. And which one do we choose? Can we solely rely on what is printed on those labels? Can any oil be healthy for us? Are the cheaper ones unhealthy for our hearts and fattening for our body? Does expensive mean good for health? Questions are never ending. Can we help you make a good choice? A few important things to note as a responsible consumer will help us and our near and dear ones to make the choice that is healthy and happy in the end. Take any major oil brand. Most of them come in refined form, which means they have undergone a series of chemical and mechanical processes. These processes include heating to about 270 degrees Celsius to give you the final product. Processing makes the oil lose some of its health-benefiting properties and in turn produces free radicals. Solvent extracted refined oil also contains bleach compounds, antifoams, often in very negligible amounts. Some chemicals are also added to stop the oil from going bad. These may demote overall health in the long run, but know that refined oils are not a danger. Moderation is the key. These oils are catered to cuisines which require light frying, sauté, salad oil dressings and marinades, among other no-heat and low-heat cooking processes. Indian cooking is very different from American and continental cuisine. We subject oil to very high temperatures, most of the time to above 170 degrees Celsius. Recent research suggests avoiding the use of refined oils in Indian cuisine because the high heat is the routine process for every breakfast and main course preparation, homemade snacks, sweets and dessert items. The cooking process destroys antioxidants like vitamin E and beta-carotene, degrades high PUFA, that is polyunsaturated fatty acid content and flavor. It also produces toxic compounds which may cause cardiovascular issues or cancer development. Cold pressed oils are, no doubt, healthy alternatives compared to refined cooking oils, especially for all the beloved deep fried dishes. Coconut, mustard oil and ghee are considered more stable because of their saturated fat content. And even then, let us remember that moderation is the key, because too much of anything is good for nothing. As and when possible, try to adapt healthier cooking methods. To deep frying, rather try steaming, stir frying, grilling or baking of food. And again, what should we buy? Well, before buying any oil, be aware of these few important things and do look closer to those labels. Not all oils are suitable for every kind of cooking. So, do include a variety of oils in your kitchen and get cooking.
Cholesterol, unnecessary evil. Who is the biggest villain of the day? Well, it is not a politician, but a tiny substance that is present in our body. Yes, ask any diet-conscious person. There are only two words that are fearsome for him or her. They are calorie and cholesterol. Calorie for the fear that might bring obesity and in turn diabetes. Cholesterol for the fear that might bring high blood pressure and then heart disease or stroke. But did you know cholesterol is a necessary evil while calorie is a sweet devil? But then what is cholesterol? Cholesterol is a waxy substance found in our body. Literally, the word means sterol in the bile. Col is a colic. It is a Greek word for the bile, and steroids means solid. The suffix OL means it is an organic alcohol. As the word describes, cholesterol is a solid found in a bile fluid. When there is too much of it in blood, it starts to separate and is deposited in the blood vessels. Over time, these deposits grow, clog the arteries and make it difficult for blood to flow. That is when we experience a high blood pressure, and the condition is called atherosclerosis. Sometimes those deposits can break suddenly and form a clot that causes a heart attack or stroke. Do you know 1/4 of all deaths in industrialized countries result from coronary heart diseases? And there is a villain. Why then is it there in our body? Well, because it is essential. In fact, we don't get our cholesterol from our diet. It is produced by our body. Cholesterol is needed to build healthy cells. All animal cells have cholesterol. The starting material for the bile acid is cholesterol. The bones in our body need vitamin D, which is again produced in the body from the fats. And how it is produced? Yes, you guessed it right. Cholesterol is a precursor of vitamin D. Steroid hormone that drive our activity throughout the day are indeed products of cholesterol. Without cholesterol, there are no steroids. Cholesterol is a necessary evil. It is synthesized in our body using the fats that we consume. Besides the cholesterol present in a diet, that too can add to the body content. Dietary cholesterol is found in animal foods, which include meats, poultry, fish, eggs, and milk products. Remember, plant food does not have cholesterol, but only provide sterols, which are turned into cholesterol in the body by combining with fats. Why is cholesterol high in some people? The causes of high cholesterol can be either genetic inheritance or as a result of unhealthy lifestyle. In the body, cholesterol is continuously produced and it used as it is being produced. Liver plays a very important role in this. The cholesterol is generally digested in the liver and excreted through the bile. A balance between the two can prevent the build-up of cholesterol in the blood. It is the excess cholesterol in the blood which is harmful, not cholesterol per se. The balance between the production and usage is generally measured using the ratio of LDL cholesterol and HDL cholesterol. LDL cholesterol is a cholesterol that is present in the blood. HDL cholesterol are the ones that are ready to be sent out of blood. So, a ratio between the two shows how much of stock is being used. A high level of LDL cholesterol is said to be bad for health, and hence LDL cholesterol also have the nickname bad cholesterol. HDL is a good chap. How do we keep this devil in check? There is one option: a healthy diet combined with regular exercise and sometimes medication can help keep cholesterol levels in check.
Store your grain. Storing large quantities of cereals and pulses post-harvest and protecting them from pest is a challenging task. Though pesticides and insecticides help in guarding the grains from being infested, they are not safe to the environment, and their continuous usage may add pesticides into our food chain. This is the story of storing huge stocks of grains. But not all grains are stored in warehouses. Roughly 60 to 70% of food grain produced in India is stored at homes in indigenous storage structures and protected by some traditional techniques. Indigenous practices are an outcome of elders' wisdom and experience and their deep knowledge of environment. If every man in the house inherited the ancestral property, then every woman inherited the rich traditional knowledge from their elders. Our ancestors have tried and tested many methods of storing grains safely using naturally available sources. Even though our grandmothers did not know why it helps, they were using neem leaves in the sack of ragi and followed it sincerely. Today, let us have a peek into that simple traditional knowledge. Who knows, we may get tips for eco-friendly storing of grains. Sun drying is probably the oldest technology of preservation and storage. Drying the crops, reducing the moisture content to around 10 to 12% is a common practice followed by farmers. This not only destroys existing pests growing at different stages but also increases the seed dormancy. A little costlier method is to use salt. Pulses like red gram, Bengal gram, green gram can be stored for a period of 6 to 8 months by mixing with common table salt. Salt, being hygroscopic, absorbs moisture in the grain. It also is a very rough and its abrasive action on the skin of insects can kill them. Thus, it hinders their movement inside the containers. Did you know a little thing called ash helps protect pulses? Yes, ash. Mixing ash with the pulses will control a wide range of pests like salt. Ash too reduces humidity in the storage. Of course, ash grains are much finer than salt, but the silica in it interferes with insects eating. It also prevents fungal growth. Then there is the old traditional approach of applying turmeric. A thin coat of turmeric would protect some of the pulses and cereals for long periods. No, turmeric is not a poison to insects. The strong smell of turmeric will keep insects away from the grains. Another trustworthy traditional aid is the neem. Mixing dried neem leaves with pulses and cereals like ragi and paddy destroys some of the insects, but the leaves should be dried in shade. Azadirachtin, a chemical found in neem leaves, acts as a repellent, feeding inhibitor and antifungal agent. Coating pulses with neem oil, that is 20 ml oil per kg of pulse, will kill all the eggs of insects, stopping infestation at early stage itself. Dipping jute gunny bags in neem seed extract, shade drying and storing grains in them would also have the same effect. Salt saves grains from insects, but salt mixed with chili kills insects. The pungent nature of chili shows repellent effect on insects. Mixing neem leaves and dried chili leaves would add to each other's effects. Use of camphor is also another old practice. We may need just 2 gram of camphor for every 5 kg of grain. The strong odor of camphor is repulsive to insects. As camphor evaporates over time, few grains of pepper are placed with it. Leaves of Pongamia pinnata, called Honge Mara in Kannada, are traditionally used to store paddy. Placing fresh Pongamia leaves between the gunny bags filled with paddy will repel rice weevil and grain moth because of the strong odor from the leaves. Besides, carrageen, a chemical present in Pongamia pinnata seeds, also is deadly to insects. 30 gram of ginger rhizome powder is mixed with 1 kg of pulse helps keep the pulse longer. The alkaloids, anthocyanins, flavonoids and tannins in ginger act as antifeedant and repellent against pests. Yes, ginger, which makes us long for food, can deter insects from eating. Last but not the least is basil, our own tulsi. The seeds of maize are mixed with dried seeds and leaves of basils to protect them from the weevils. The palmitic acid, linoleic acid and stearic acid present in tulsi seeds with their antifeedant and larvicidal effect are the main reasons for its effect. Weren't the tips useful? Now you can store and protect your grain easily and at affordable cost.
The easiest cooking of all things is, of course, cooking the rice. No wonder rice is preferred staple food of 1/3 of the world population. The 5,000 years grain has several unique properties. Here we have Dr. M.S. Meera from CSIR CFTRI explaining how rice qualities affects its cooking.
Some rice cook well and some become sticky. Why is that?
There are various reasons for the cooking quality of rice and why some rice cook very well, become non-sticky, and while some rice become very sticky. There are many reasons. Like, first will be the amylose content. As you all know, starch is made up of 2 components, that is amylose and amylopectin. Amylose is the straight chain component and amylopectin is the branch chain component. This amylose content plays a very significant role for the cooking characteristics of rice. That is, the lower the amylose content, we call it the waxy rice because it cooks waxy, very sticky, and preferred by mostly the oriental states like Japan, China and our northeast states. As the amylose content increases, the rice cooks little bit fluffy and also it does not stick, usually preferred by raw rice eaters down south in the southern part of our country. Whereas the other major reason is its age. Because the newer rice tend to become sticky because there is lot of solid loss and leaching into the cooked water. That is why it becomes sticky. As the rice ages, the starch gets becomes resilient. It can hold enough water, doesn't leach out the water that it is absorbed, and hence it maintains its characteristics, and it does not allow the rice to become sticky, and it cooks fluffy, and the rice grains are discrete in nature. The more the appearance and the age of rice, the higher will be the price of the rice also. And the other one is the pre-processing that takes place, like parboiling, partially boiling the rice or steaming the rice, wherein the starch characteristics are modified by the heat that is given. Those rice also cooks very well, and they are not sticky after you cook the rice. So these are the three major reasons why the rice differ in their cooking characteristics.
What is aging in rice? Why old rice is preferred for?
Aging of rice is usually done by storing the freshly harvested rice. And this freshly harvested rice cannot be milled. There are various reasons why old rice is preferred, starting from its milling quality. Because rice is rice milling industry, the outturn of the rice industry depends on the head rice. That is the rice which is 3/4 and above. Broken rice is not preferred. But when you mill a freshly harvested rice, you tend to end up with lot of brokens, which is derogatory to the rice milling industry. When the farmer harvests his rice, that rice which is picked up by the miller is not milled immediately in his mills. He will store that rice for at least a minimum period of 3 months, so that whatever vagaries that the rice would have undergone before harvest get stabilized during this process of storing. And why this aging of rice is more predominant and focused is, rice is the only grain which is eaten in that whole form. Not that the other grains age, the other grains also age, but it assumes such a significance in rice because it is in that whole form that it is consumed. So that is why the milling is more important, because when you consider wheat or other grains, it is either milled to flour or semolina. But whereas in rice, it is the only grain which is eaten in the whole form. That is why the miller would like to have his milling quality, that is the head rice outturn, to the maximum extent. And that is where the economy of the milling industry also focuses on. And this new rice cannot be milled immediately after harvest, because the moisture will be high. There won't be a uniform moisture distribution or other components distribution within the grain, especially the moisture. So this heterogeneous nature of this grain does not allow it to be milled in a whole form and tends to break when it is subjected to such adverse conditions like shelling and milling. That's why to have a good head rice recovery, we need to age the rice at least for a minimum of 3 to 4 months. And the other major reason is that its cooking quality. We cannot eat a fresh rice because it is too sticky and gets mashed up, and you cannot mix with your sambar or anything, and the palau that is cooked from this rice, it also tends to mash, and the consumer acceptability is very low. Rice have a very good cooking quality when you age it for a minimum period of 6 months. You must have also seen on the basmati packets, aged for 2 years, aged for 1 year and above. The more the rice is aged, the better is the cooking quality. Cooking quality here I mean is that appearance of the rice after cooking, the grains are very distinct and there is very minimum solid loss, that is the gruel that is leached out in the cooking water. And also the rice elongates to the maximum extent, and the stickiness that we see in the fresh rice reduces drastically. Since the stickiness reduces drastically, the rice does not stick to each other. And moreover, there is a volume increase also. I can serve more number of people. So the economy also matters here. So there are various factors that one can see after we age the rice appropriately. This is mostly preferred by the raw rice eaters, where they need a discrete grains which cook fluffy and the volume should be very high after cooking.
Can we artificially make new rice behave like old ones?
Yes, you can make the rice to behave like old ones, but the most commercially followed method is the steaming of rice, wherein the freshly harvested rice is steamed for a period of 15 minutes and above. That is the first method developed by CFTRI way back in 1956. At that time, it was paddy used to get harvested at a moisture content of 22 to 24%. With the advancement of in agricultural equipments and all, now the rice is being harvested at a very low moisture of 15 to near about 18%. So when we steam this rice, there is a very drastic reduction in its milling quality. Although it has some certain drawbacks, but the major commercially followed practice to age the freshly harvested rice and to improve its milling quality only is the steaming method developed at CFTRI.
Can we identify old rice from the new ones?
Yes, you can identify, but you need to do a number of tests and integrate them and study them and then only come to a conclusion to say that this is old and this is a new freshly harvested rice. Like the first we need to do its cooking characteristics, then we need to study its starch behavior and other microscopically also we can see the cell orientation of the cooked rice if it is broken while cooking. All these tests together and determine if it is an old rice or an aged rice.
Is there a common simple method that we can follow?
No, sir, I don't think so.
Thank you, madam.
Dear all, that was Thali Tales for this fortnight. Hope you relished it. Miss Namrata Varkekar, Dr. J.R. Manjunatha and Akshata S. contributed the stories. Narration was by yours truly, myself, Abdul Majid, Suruchi Nautiyal and Ishwanti Singh. Thali Tales is a free magazine produced and distributed by CSIR CFTRI Mysore. You can also freely share Thali Tales with anyone you want. Listeners may send their queries and suggestions on food and related issues directly through WhatsApp to 9449120618. You can also call the number 0821-251-5910 from Monday to Friday to ask any questions you want. Thali Tales will try to provide answers in subsequent issues. See you again next fortnight. Until then, bye bye and have a great day ahead.